Ghosts in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al Cresta is taking your calls direct to his desk. Call in now, 877-573-7825.
Well, good afternoon. I'm glad you're with me on this Friday. We've got 2 hours. Talking about the things that matter most, my guest, Father John Ricardo, he is the leader of Acts 29. We'll, of course, tell you a little bit more about Acts 29. We've talked about it before here. But on this Friday, what I wanted Father here for is to talk about a topic that is critical in our moment. We know right now the United States is divided in so many different ways, politically. And the president, at the beginning of his term, began to talk about he wanted to play the role of being a great unifier. And I think most of us realize that the unity that God wills is not really going to come through Washington, D.C. It's going to come through the people who are united around the Eucharist and who are in union with Christ Jesus. And our problem is to figure out how best to reflect that unity. So we're going to talk about that. What is it that we can do as Catholics to show the unity that God wills for the human race? Now, I enjoyed my conversation yesterday with Tim O'Malley about the crisis facing Catholic parishes. And I also know there's no such thing as a silver bullet. It's really all about recovering our own sense of mission. What has Christ called us to be as a people? And that's why we keep saying, build the church, and you will bless the nations. We're going to be taking your calls, probably beginning the second, third segment. So here's the phone number. Keep it nearby. 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. But first, what do you say we get to today's headlines?
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, February 26th. It's the Feast of St. Victor the Hermit. Today's news is brought to you by Ave Maria University. Your vocation location is at avemaria.edu. President Biden is getting a tour of Houston today, where more than 1.5 million people lost power in last week's storm. He stopped at the city's Emergency Operations Center.
You're saving people's lives, and you're doing, as my mother would say to you, you're doing God's work.
On top of the power outages, Houston had 3.5 million people without water, and about 10,400 Houston homes had broken pipes due to last week's Arctic blast. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken says the murder of U.S. journalist Jamal Khashoggi in 2018 shocked the world. In a declassified intelligence report released by the Biden administration, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman approved the operation to, quote, capture or kill Khashoggi. Khashoggi was a Washington Post columnist who was very critical of the Saudi regime. He was a Saudi citizen with permanent U.S. residential status. Khashoggi was thought to be murdered inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. A group of unknown gunmen abducted hundreds of schoolgirls in the Nigerian state of Zamfara. Vatican News reporting that up to 300 girls were seized early this morning. According to the state's information commissioner, quote, unknown gunmen came shooting sporadically and took the girls away in a midnight raid on the school. This is the second such kidnapping in just over a week. Tiger Woods is beginning what's likely to be a challenging recovery from surgery after a car crash Tuesday. The 45-year-old Woods was moved to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center yesterday following emergency surgery at Harbor UCLA Medical Center right after the accident. Facilities associated with Cedars-Sinai are known for sports medicine and related surgeries, as well as a reputation for privacy. I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria Radio News.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. And join me today, Father John Ricardo, Executive Director of Acts 29. He is host of the program Christ is the Answer. And you've got the podcast, weekly podcast you're doing, which we should talk a little bit about. How's that going?
Well, I think it's great because I talk. We get good feedback. You know, it's an attempt. It's me, Nick Jorgensen, Mary Guilfoyle, the three of us typically. Sometimes Deacon Steve Mitchell joins us. We do it weekly. Comes out on Monday mornings called You Were Born for This.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is taken right from St. Joan of Arc.
I love that.
Yeah, it's just another attempt for us to find ways to massage what we call these three essential principles for transformation of the church into every sphere we can. We love it.
Yeah. Let's talk a little about that because this is a really an amazing time in American Catholic history. We've got all kinds of signs of institutional decline, and yet we're all, you know, if we look carefully, there are also tremendous signs of growth in repentance and conversion all around. So it's difficult to come up with a single word describing what's happening in American Catholicism. But one thing we do know is that we have a responsibility to bear witness to the kingdom of God, even as we remain citizens of the United States of America. Since your ordination, would you say that American Catholics are more or less aware of their call to be unified, to exhibit through their care for one another and through their attitudes? Are they more aware that Jesus has called the community to be a window on the kingdom of God through the love and unity that we exhibit to the world?
Now, that's a great question. I think it really varies greatly from family to family
yeah.
and from diocese
yeah.
to diocese and parish to parish, right? So those places where mission is regularly preached and what Jesus has done for us or what the Father has done for us through Jesus are regularly preached, I think there's greater clarity. Where that's not there, I think I don't know how any of us, quite honestly, wouldn't just more or less drift with the current of the culture.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked before about the transition from of eras from Christendom to apostolic. And so the challenge now, 25 years being a priest, is we're well into an apostolic era now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easier to swim 25 years ago in the current that we had in the culture, because it wasn't what it is now.
Right.
Now you're clearly swimming against the tide or
yeah.
against the current, right? And so I think there's less clarity than ever before on missions. In fact, we've found it really helpful. Our work is primarily with bishops. So kind of like working with the bishop inside out to
yeah.
bring transformation to the entire diocese.
Right.
To him and his team around him, to the priesthood and to seminarians, to lay ecclesial ministers, and then to systems and structures and processes too. And there's just such an urgent need to get back to basics. And we had a call. We share this with guys all the time now. We had a call with two Marine Corps majors
yeah.
who reached out to us, and they listened to our podcast and have become good friends and just said, you know, you guys share some things that sound a lot like Marines. We want to share something with you that might be helpful. And what they shared was when they're preparing for an engagement and when they're training young officers, how crucial it is for everybody to have utmost clarity on the question, we're doing X in order to Y. And if I don't know what the blank is after the in order to, when bullets start to fly, morale gets low, confusion reigns, and people die.
Yeah.
And so we use that right now in talking to bishops and priests and lay leaders just to say, we think there's at least three areas in the church where we don't have any clarity, which are really important to get clear on. One, God became a man in order to what? Like tell stories, do miracles, or did God become a man in order to bind the strong man, make atonement for us, show us the Father's love, reconcile us to the Father, fill us with the power of the Spirit, and send us out on mission, right? So I don't think there's clarity on why Jesus came. That's why we hear so many kind of sappy sermons, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
The gospel's just reduced to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
A second in order to would be Jesus sends us as disciples in order to do what? Like, what's the mission of the disciple? And I think for many Catholics, this would be myself until, you know, probably not that long ago, I would have reduced it to holiness.
Sure.
Which is really important, right?
Yeah.
Like grow in holiness, grow in virtue and whatnot. But that's not the be all and end all. The mission, we found five words that have been really helpful for us. Three of them are Peace Corps words and two of them are Marine Corps words. The mission of the disciple, we would say, is to be an agent of transformation, recreation, or healing. Those are the Peace Corps words. I've heard you talk with N.T. Wright on your show
sure.
a number of times, and I know he talks a lot about that, recreation and transformation mm-hmm. especially. But then the Marine Corps words would be an agent of sabotage. That actually comes from C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Or a member of the resistance.
Yeah.
You know, Peter tells us in his first letter, you know, your enemy is prowling like a roaring lion. Resist him, which doesn't mean just stand against him. It means, like, try to undo him.
Yeah.
So the mission of the disciple, we would say—
Wait, push back.
Yeah, push back. Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
take back what's rightfully the Father's.
Yeah.
You know? And then the third mission is the parish. Like, the parish exists in order to— What exactly? And on Ash Wednesday— we were doing some work down in Florida with some friends of mine. And so that second reading on Ash Wednesday, you know, where Paul talks about we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, God, as it were, making appeal through us.
Yes.
And so I was praying with that morning, and I was so struck by that in a new way. And I felt like the Lord just was leading a reflection. We had a great conversation on it. So what's an ambassador, right? Well, an ambassador is a representative of a leader who works at an embassy. And the embassy is, you know, like, so I lived in Italy.
I love this image.
It's just so strong, right? So an embassy is the headquarters of a government serving in a foreign country, led by an ambassador who is the representative of the other country's leader. It belongs to the country it represents. And while its primary purpose is to assist citizens of the other country who live in that host country, it does more than that. It wants to know, like, the language and the culture and the ways of the people in the host country. And as I'm thinking of Paul, like Paul says, ambassadors for Christ, God, as it were, appealing through us. What's the appeal? And the way I hear it right now is you can defect. Right? So who are we? We are citizens of heaven
mm-hmm.
who are living in a colony right now here on earth. Jesus will come back to earth. That's the goal. We're not supposed to get out of here. Jesus is going to come back, make it all new and right, and according to the Father's plan. In the meantime, though, we don't live under the laws of the host country, if you will. What are those laws? Sin and death.
Right.
I'm not bound by sin anymore. I still do, far
sure.
often than I'd like. And I'm not bound by death. I'm going to die. It can't hold me. COVID's real. I'm not afraid of it. We're all going to die. Newsflash, right?
Yeah.
Jesus has rescued us from the fear of death. And so our message as ambassadors is you don't have to live under those laws anymore. And you don't have to live in this tyrant's kingdom anymore. There's a new way of living. And our leader, King Jesus, is offering you a homeland.
Yeah.
And our task, and this is to your point earlier, huh? This is the whole point. Our task is to embody this as the church, to look different, to behave like men and women who forgive, who love, who are merciful, who confront but in charity, who call out but in charity, who exhibit the traits of the kingdom. And we aren't doing this right now in the church, at least more often than not. And I'm as guilty as anybody. Those are the missions to me, which if we got clarity on, we'd be in a lot better shape than we are right now.
Yeah. Excellent points. And these are fundamental questions. You mentioned working with bishops. So these are questions you're bringing up with bishops themselves as they think how they're trying to renew their diocese. And so it's the fundamental question is about Jesus. Why did the incarnation occur? Why did he become man? And then Jesus sends his disciples to do what? And then parishes exist. Why? Right? I mean, this is those three fundamental areas.
Then you could add schools.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's which
right.
is
yeah.
a huge topic.
Yeah.
Which we don't have even time to get into, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, schools are really an extension of disciple making, it seems to me. Catholic schools.
Absolutely.
You know, and they are really part of the disciple making framework of a parish or of a diocese. Let me come back to this idea of the embassy. So would you suggest then thinking of our parishes as kind of embassies in a foreign land? People can defect from the surrounding scene and find refuge in our embassy. Those of us who get lost out in the world, don't know what we're doing, can say, oh, there's an embassy, there's a parish, there's an embassy, I can get reoriented if I drop in there. I think that's a great way of looking at the
parish.
That's
what it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so we think of the scriptural reference, another one anyway, for the parish and the mission of the parish is Matthew 5 when Jesus says, you know, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Well, you build a city on a hill to protect it, you know, so that you can see the enemy coming and whatnot.
Right.
You don't light up a city to protect it.
Yeah.
that's just counterintuitive. You light up a city so that the people who are down below, who are lost,
right,
who are at risk, who are hungry, who are lonely, who are beat up, who are bruised, they can see someplace and go, oh, there's refuge there. There's help there. And they're supposed to, and that's everybody who doesn't know Jesus. Everybody who doesn't know Jesus. And they're supposed to walk into our churches and they're supposed to experience when they walk in, oh, they get it.
Yeah.
Like, this is different. Here's real unity in diversity.
Yep.
Young and old, black and white, every color, everything. And they're different, and I can tell.
Yeah. Hold it there, Father. We'll come back. My guest, Father John Ricardo, talking about the mission of Jesus, talking about the task of the disciple, and talking about what are parishes supposed to do. And we're going to be inviting your calls in just a little while. Keep this number nearby, 1-877-573-7825.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
Is your teen struggling with self-criticism, poor motivation, or bad eating or sleeping habits? Does he or she tend to isolate, have bouts of anger, or struggle in their academic or social life? If you said yes to at least a few of these statements, your teen might be dealing with clinical depression. According to Johns Hopkins University, adolescent depression rates increased by 37% in the last decade. Many parents assume that depressed mood and behavior are a normal part of a teenager's life. While every teen has some struggles with self-image or peer relationships, when those struggles become a consistent cross, it's time to seek professional help. Depression isn't something your kids will grow out of, but with appropriate help, it is something they can learn to leave behind for good. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
What was Jesus' chief mission on earth? It was, the Catholic Catechism tells us, to achieve his Father's will, God's plan of salvation in the fullness of time. Jesus did this by preaching the good news, the arrival of the reign of God, which had been promised through the ages in Scripture. To fulfill the Father's will, Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven on earth. The kingdom is visible in the word and worship of Christ and in his presence in the church. The seed and beginning of the kingdom are the little flock Jesus gathered around him, the disciples and the 12 apostles with Peter as the head. They are the foundation stones of the new Jerusalem. The church is born primarily as a result of Christ's total self-giving. The origin and growth of the church are symbolized by the blood and water that flowed from the crucified Christ's side. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Call in now, 877-573-7825.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Father John Ricardo. You know, it occurred to me, I do this all the time when friends come on the air. We've talked many times, but listeners may not know what you're doing with Acts 29 and why it exists and how this came into existence. Can you give us a little rundown here?
Yeah, a quick rundown is we feel like God called us. There's six of us in our team right now, our family. Out of parish ministry and diocesan ministry to really pour into the church. And so our focus, quite honestly, at the heart of our work is to really bring renewal to the priesthood. I mean, like starting with me.
Sure.
Because as we travel around the country, it's become abundantly clear that the key to the transformation of the church is the transformation of the priesthood. And that's not an indictment on my brothers or me. I mean, we need transformation and renewal and healing because the structures that most of us are operating under are just untenable. Yeah. So at the heart of our work is really the renewal of the priesthood and pouring into guys, trying to serve guys. But when COVID started, we wrote a white paper on reimagining what a Catholic parish can be, just because, again, we have the conviction. I was 15 years a pastor. And seriously went through PTSD when I left.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Like, seriously. Like, began to wake up. A friend of mine who you know, he's on our board, said to me, man, I had never met this Father John before. Like, you just seem really different right now. This is just like 6 months ago.
Wow.
And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you just seem alive. I went, thanks. What was I like before? He goes, you were a little tense. I'm like, well, I know I'm intense and all, but... I said, I feel like I came back to life, you know, like seriously, when I left the parish 3 weeks probably after it, I was with some friends and I said, I'm in PTSD. Like my body was beginning to feel again,
yeah.
You know, because you get most priests and the lay people who serve with them. I mean, all of us in parish life, you just get used to living with your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
And you go from trauma to trauma to trauma to trauma and you just can't do it, you know? And you get acclimated to that and then you get pulled out of it and you realize this is not normal.
It really strikes me, and the word bizarre fits. I simply don't understand how a man can pastor
a parish with 1,000 families.
Yeah, poorly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's that you can dispense sacraments. You know what I'm saying? It's almost an industrial model.
Right.
You can dispense sacraments, and then you spend your time. And maybe you can train some people to do visitation and things like that. But I just think it's crazy.
And we had 3,000 families.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And as a dad, I mean, your dad, like a father, a good father, knows his children, and his children know them.
Yeah.
I can never know my children.
Yeah, nope.
I know a
nope.
small subset of them. And then you easily and quickly lose your identity. Like, what am I? Am I a director of HR? Am I a fundraiser? Am I a administrator? Am I a business manager? Am I a CEO? What am I?
Yeah.
And you call me father because that's the core of our identity. And yet, you know, our life is so unnatural in so many ways. Too many children. And then we move from family to family to family. And you pretty much end relationships with the children that you've just been caring for because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody else is there now.
Right.
And you have to let them father them.
Yep.
And then you're moving into a new family with other people who are grieving that their dad just left.
Yep.
And now you're moving it. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
It is. It's a weird model. It certainly wasn't developed for the culture that we're currently living in. It may have worked in European villages and towns and things, but it doesn't work here.
No, it doesn't seem to work. And we see from, you know, like there are great priests all over.
Sure.
You know, and even the great ones, we will hear confide to us, I am really exhausted, or
yeah.
I'm lonely, or I'm isolated, or I'm just fed up.
Tell listeners, to the degree that you can, what you're hearing from, you're working with a number of bishops,
mm-hmm.
and I think I want people to realize that it's you're busy. Bishops want your help on this. In other words, there's a lot of positive momentum here. So talk to us a little bit about what bishops are asking of you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not naive, and I'm actually not even optimistic. I think it's going to get really bad in the country. I mean, unless we get a Marian apparition or something.
Sure.
At the same time, I'm extremely hopeful. So, and I'm hopeful because, one, Jesus is Lord, and he holds the rulers of the world in his hands. And so he's not nervous. I'm not nervous. But we see so many encouraging signs of men who I would call generals. So bishops who are generals,
yeah.
who are, like as a friend of mine says, willing to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And willing to put everything on the table with the exception of like orthodoxy, right? So they're aware enough that something's not working. If we do an honest assessment of the church, if this was any other organization, we would start all over again. You know, like the numbers are really bad.
Mm-hmm.
The giving's really bad. The level of belief is really bad. I mean, we do this like an honest assessment of where we are as a
yeah.
church, and it's dismal. I don't know how we don't get an F. Like 80% of Catholics don't go to church. That alone is just shocking to me. Like, how do we just get used to that? You know, a pastor talks to another pastor and goes, how many people you got in your parish? Well, you know, like on the books, I got, you know, 3,000 families, but there's really 1,200 families. I mean, this has become
right.
normative for us. It's not supposed to be normative. These
right.
are horrible numbers. So the bishops who see those and go, yeah, that's not right. We got to do something. They reach out to us because we don't solicit.
Right.
We don't
right.
solicit and we don't charge. We're totally funded by donors. So in different ways, they get to us and then we go out and we do a vision cast to them because it's really we're not for everybody. Like, I'm not for everybody. And we try to share with them both who we are and most importantly, how we think. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't think the way we think about, say, the mission of Jesus and the mission of the disciple and the mission of the church, then you don't want to work with us.
Right.
And we're busier than we could imagine right now.
Yeah, yeah. This is great.
So there are – I know we see the bad news in the church all the time,
mm-hmm.
but there are some really strong guys, and I think the Lord is forcing them to step up because of
yeah.
what's going on mm-hmm. in our country. And we need to – you know, like I've taken it upon myself. We as a team have taken it upon ourselves to do all our penances in Lent for the leaders of the church and the country. That God will bring them renewal and transformation and courage. So, like, be encouraged right now. It's
yeah.
it's bad, the news, but get out of the news, yeah. for crying out loud. Listen to Al's news. But don't listen to anybody else's news. Like, read the Word of God.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
that's the world we're supposed to be living in. That's the narrative. That's the storyline.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know. I honestly do not know what I would do if I hadn't spent so many years in Scripture. I know not everybody has the same interest in texts and things of that sort, but for me, this is I look around and this seems like an alien world I'm living in. I go into the Scriptures and I'm back in an environment that I understand.
Yep.
With people that I like. Abraham, like that guy, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, so,
and a reminder that God's in charge. Let me, if I can finish real quick.
Please do.
So to the point of our work, so because it's probably important to say this, our work is aiming at the transformation of the church. You know, so we're trying to help a bishop bring systemic change to his diocese. So we would say molding it, like we in much the same way that we would say God gave St. Ignatius the spiritual exercises for the church.
Yes.
We think God's given us something.
Yeah.
And we think transformation from the church or in the church will come from implementing altogether three what we call essential principles.
You've been doing this, what, 2 years now?
Right, 2 years.
And right now it appears as though it's being confirmed by the bishops.
It's being confirmed by bishops and it's being confirmed by priests that we're working with.
Yeah.
And the principles are these: to reacquire a biblical worldview. You know, more than anything right now, the urgent need in the church, and we've talked about this before, you and I, is to proclaim the gospel. We cannot presume that people know the gospel or have ever heard it, starting with the people in the pews.
Right.
So the first thing is to get clear again on who's God, why he made the world, why is it messed up, what's he done about it, and how should I respond? Until that happens, I have nothing to repent over, right? To repent means to change the way I think.
Yeah.
In order to change the way I think, you have to help me think a new way. You're going to do that by proclaiming the gospel to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, the second principle we would say is, it's not enough to be a staff. We have to be more than a staff. We have to become a team. And then more than a team, we have to become a family. And most organizations and most parish staffs and most chanceries are not healthy.
Right.
I mean, they're dysfunctional as all get out. And everybody knows it.
Yep.
So we got to do the hard work of both organizational health and then more than organizational health, begin to dig into the avenues of personal healing in our own lives. So like a guy like Dr. Bob Schutz down at the John Paul II Healing Center.
I think very highly of him.
Extraordinary man.
Yeah.
And like, we're all broken. I'm wounded. I got lots of things that cause me struggles and whatnot. And we say all the time, rescued people, rescued people. Schutz says, hurt people, hurt people. Which is really true, right? And we got a lot of hurt people in the church serving. And I've been one of them, you know. And then healed people heal people. So that's the second principle. And the third is what we call God as the architect. And when we share this, especially after somebody hears the gospel, so whether it's the bishop or his leaders or a priest, and they get moving towards healing and getting organizationally healthy too, and then you help them realize, you know, God already has a plan. You don't have to come up with it. You have to get on your face. And you got to ask him to reveal it to you. And it's not going to fall from the sky. That's why you've got to be healthy, because the way it's going to be discerned is we're going to pray, and then you and I are going to get around a table, and we're going to argue to clarity, right? And to see these guys take a big sigh of relief, because we're so accustomed to like having a five-year plan. Five-year plans are over. I mean, who could have planned for this year, given what we just went through? Right? And
so to
remind them, I don't know a single instance in Scripture where God shows somebody the whole plan.
Right.
It's like, rise, Abram, and go to a land I'll show you. That's not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Lamp under my feet, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I see the next step.
Right.
So good signs, positive things, God's moving.
My guest is Father John Ricardo. We're now going to your phone calls, 1-877-573-7825. We're talking about the renewal of the church. We're talking about renewal of parish life. We're talking about personal renewal, what it means to be a disciple. It's a big canvas here that we're painting on, and I want you to join us with your comments, your questions, and your experiences. 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Joe in Port Huron, you're first up when we come back.
This program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit St. Paul Street Evangelization. St. John Paul II stated that for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation. So we know we're called, but how do we do it? St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current healthcare plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa.
The state has responsibility to orient things, but they can't take over the rights of the family, like in China, to have one child and that's it. It's a disaster over there. How many tens of millions of abortions have gone on? And one of the things that, as a result of that, is because of the preference to have boy children rather than girls, you have, for every 1,000 boys, there are 850 girls. This is a great imbalance. Same thing is going on in northern India. So this is where the government cannot take away the primary and inalienable responsibility of married couples and families. And they cannot employ methods which fail to respect the person and fundamental human rights, beginning with the right to life. The government cannot force you to kill innocent human beings and still be a humanistic government. It's an evil government.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
There are lots of great ways to connect with us at AveMariaRadio.net, like our poll of the week. This week we want to know, what are some things that you are doing for Lent? Let us know now at AveMariaRadio.net and stay tuned to Ave Maria Radio to hear our results for the poll of the week.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
If I disciplined consistently, I'd be disciplining constantly. If I were consistent in my discipline, that would mean I would discipline more, and I'd be disciplining him often. The exact opposite is the case. More consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. Why? Because you're predictable. The child knows if he does A, you'll do B. That is why, when you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
Catholics in the U.S. bishops adjusting to a new administration and the obstacles to the Church's mission of religious liberty in communist China. To learn more about these issues affecting the Church and our faith, keep listening to EWTN Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Father John Ricardo, Executive Director of Acts 29 and host of Christ is the Answer. We're taking your calls. The number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Let's just jump to the calls right now. We'll go to, is it Sherita in Plymouth, listening on the Ave Maria Radio app? Hello.
Hello.
Good to have you.
Sherita Collins.
Hey, Sherita.
I know Father John, and he knows me. I'm back at Our Lady of Good Counsel, and I've been back for about a year and a half. And my question is, what can I do to help? I want to help. Boy, and I'll tell you, wearing a mask is, you know me, smiling and talking, not being able to sit next to people and wear a mask is really cut back on my normal talent, but I want to help.
Yeah, eye contact's limited with how helpful it can be. We're so dependent upon facial expressions, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think the most, there's so many ways we can help, and there's so many possible answers to your question, right? So some of the things that just come immediately to mind are, I'm convinced we have got to be ambassadors of hope right now. You know, like we have to conduct ourselves like men and women who are confident in the Lordship of Jesus and who act like men and women whose hearts at least aspire to be conformed to the heart of Jesus. You know, like that's my Lenten resolution. The Lord gave me this bizarre image right before Lent started on Valentine's Day, which is not a real big day for priests, you know. And the image was like one of those strawberries.
Yeah.
Just soaked in chocolate.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting with this in prayer. I'm like, what does that mean, Lord? He goes, well, that's your heart, and I'm the chocolate. And he says, the goal of Lent, I want to immerse you in my heart. And so I think for us in the church right now, if we're not compelled by the love of Jesus in everything we do, it's in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because at the end of the day, if I don't have love, I'm nothing.
Right.
So, you know, I think the first thing we can do to help is make sure our motives are really animated by his heart and by the love of the gospel. And then an attempt to bring hope to people around us, and lots of different ways we can do that. You know, words of encouragement, praying with people, reminding them not to be anxious and fearful because Jesus isn't, and do what we can to try to help situations come more into conformity with how the Father created them to be.
Sharita, thanks for the call. Good hearing from you. Wish you the best, too. An ambassador of hope, I love that because it plays into, again, this idea of the parish as an embassy. Mm. So, all right, the number is 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Jane, who's on the road in Illinois right now, listening on Sirius XM. Jane, good to have you.
Hi. I was calling to find out, how would you, Father, want to be approached by parishioners in love regarding the fact that our parish priest really struggles? He can speak well, but he speaks in generalities. We've heard nothing about anything. I mean, regarding, we didn't know there was a critical election going on. We don't know. We have a, you know, rapidly pro-abortion president. We don't know. We've never heard about same-sex marriage, contraception. Nothing. Father likes to be people's friend. The few people are coming back to church. Those of us in the pew are so hungry, we're parched. And
yeah.
But I'm so afraid. I'm afraid, but yet I had to go to confession to my spiritual director because I'm complaining about Father, but I haven't spoken to him. And my husband and I want to.
Right.
I don't know. I'm
so
sorry.
No. I appreciate the question, Jane. So the same fear you have is probably multiplied exponentially in him. I mean, are you a mom?
A mom, yes.
So, I mean, you know better than I do how difficult it is. I mean, it's easy to be a bad parent, you know, by which I mean it's easy to not, like, say the difficult things to your children. It requires a lot of courage to not want to be their friend, but actually be their mom or their dad, in the hopes that as they grow older, they will be friends, right?
Right.
And so you have to do some things which oftentimes are not well received. In the same way, as a priest, it's easy to be a bad shepherd because you want to be, I mean, we all have this desire to be liked. And goodness gracious, there are enough topics right now out there. The moment that you touch them, you're going to annoy somebody. And so it's an awkward place to be unless you're really coming from one. I'm convinced the Lord's leading me to say something, and I've got clarity on how to say it in charity and in truth. So that's where he is. That's where, like, everybody I know is. I think the most helpful thing you can do is you got to sit down with him, right? So,
okay.
Like, I don't want to get emails. You don't want to get emails. I want to see you. I want to talk to you. I want to hear you. I want you to hear me. And
okay.
I think especially if you come with a lot of both bishops and priests, they don't know that there's that much support oftentimes.
Right.
Because
right.
people don't come to say, hey, we're so grateful.
That's right.
All we hear, like no one ever calls a priest to go, my life is going great.
Yeah. Yeah. They call you, it's a crisis. It's
yeah, they call
crisis.
To complain
yeah.
and because something's wrong. And so for you to go to him and say, Father, we just want to, one, thank you for your vocation. Two, we want to let you know we're praying for you and we have your back. And we hunger
oh, wow.
for truth. Like we want meat and we know you can give it to us. And
yeah.
so we just want to encourage you to be able to do that and know that we're supporting. Like we're gonna defend you, we're praying for you. We know it's hard to be courageous right now. That's why there aren't very many courageous people. But we know you can be. And we want you to know we're praying for wisdom for you and for courage to lead in these really difficult days, which you probably were not trained for.
Right.
Jane, God bless you.
God bless you. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you. The number again, 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Elizabeth in Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM. You're up, Elizabeth.
Hi. Yes, thanks so much for having me. I just...
Wow. I guess we, for some reason or other, we lost her there. Sorry.
Sorry, Elizabeth.
If you want to, we'll put you at the head of the pack, Elizabeth, if you want to call back. The number again is 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Seattle, Washington now. James, you're up.
Yeah, thank you, Al. Father, thank you. I listened to your podcast. You've been a tremendous impact on my life. I have to just say, Father, just for context, I'm a revert. I went over to the Protestant side of the faith, became very anti-Catholic, and 7 years ago I came back to the faith, and I'm home.
Welcome home.
My question, yeah, thank you. My question for you, I think I speak for myself, but I also speak for a lot of Catholics out there. We're very disillusioned right now. There's nobody speaking up for us. There's a deep disappointment with bishops and leadership. If you look at different states, they're able to go and receive the Eucharist. Different states are locked down and, you have to make an appointment to go to church. And I don't believe it's any coincidence, you know, the upheaval, the unrest, you know, we've seen, you know, people have been denied to receive the Eucharist. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the things that are happening now are happening. And I just would like your perspective. You know, I feel it myself. I'm at a loss of how to speak out, what to do, because I don't think it's just exclusive to the Catholic faith. I think it's Christians as a whole. Our leaders aren't speaking up, that there's no voice speaking up for us and our faith and our freedom to live our faith and practice our faith. And it's concerning and it's scary. And there's a lot of us out there that are very disappointed, I think, in church leadership for not speaking up. There's nobody speaking up for us, Father.
Okay.
No, James, thanks. I appreciate the call, the sentiment. I have a lot of friends who feel very similar to you. A couple thoughts come to mind. So one would be, I don't think it's true that nobody's speaking up. It's certainly, they aren't getting the headlines. And to say that we have a crisis of leadership, I would not deny in the least. But thanks be to God, we do have some strong bishops who are speaking, and we have a boatload of priests who are speaking. Whether or not you or anybody who's listening happens to be at a place where that's happening, I can't answer, but I know it's happening. We all would wish it would be happening more frequently, I know. I think this is one of the reasons why it's so imperative for us, all of us, to really be praying and fasting for our leaders. Leadership is rare.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rare, right? It's why when we see them, we follow them and we go places and we run through walls
yeah.
for them, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's in politics or whether that's in the military or whether that's in the church. So, I was convicted personally, you know, like if I ask you the question, what's Jesus doing right now, according to the scriptures, there's a clear answer. In the letter to the Hebrews, right? He's
sure.
interceding for us.
That's right. Yeah,
that's what he's doing.
Our great high priest.
And so if that's what he's doing, well, that's what I need to be doing as well if I'm sharing in his life as a priest by baptism, right? And we're all priests by baptism. What do priests have? Priests have access to God on behalf of others. We all have that. And I'm just so convicted in my own life how much time I spend complaining.
Yeah.
And how little time I'm actually praying for the people I'm complaining about.
Yeah.
So that's not to say that I'm supposed to bury my head in the sand, pretend nothing's going on. But it is to say the first thing I need to ask myself is, what am I doing about this? Am I beseeching the Lord to give renewal, transformation, fan into flame again the fire that was kindled in a guy, whether he's a bishop or a priest, and do my part for him, do penance for him, do whatever I can for him. And then do all sorts of things beyond that. Call him on, encourage him, exhort him, because all that's within your realm. The only other thing I'd say that came to mind as I'm listening to you, because of COVID, right, like every bishop and priest is in a can't-win situation.
That's true.
Right? I mean, I open the churches and I'm reckless.
Yeah, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
I'm a coward and I have no faith.
Yeah, that's
right. And I know this because of all the guys I'm talking to. I've seen the letters that they get, and they're on both sides. And this, like, we've never been here before. And I don't know what to do with that. I just know it's a reality. Like, these guys can't win.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the right thing is to do in some of these places. You're darn right that we need to fight for religious liberties. And
we have people doing that. I want to stress, we have lots of people doing it. We talk about them here. So we've got legal help.
Yep. Yeah. And there's no, I mean, Al and I were talking about this offline. There's no way it's coincidental that as so many people have been deprived access of the Eucharist over the last 11, 12 months, that we would be in the mess that we're in right now. There's clearly a correlation.
The hostility is incredible.
But, you know, I think the renewal of the church is, I was thinking of this just the other day. You know, Japan, at a certain point in their history, they kicked out all the missionaries.
Right.
And there were no priests. And they came 200 years later, and the faith was thriving. And they asked, like, how you been doing this? There's no priests. It's like, yeah, you know, we have homes and we teach the faith and we share the gospel with our kids and we share the gospel with one another. And this is a time, I think, for the gospel to really get spread home to home to home to home.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your home's always open if you want it to be.
Thanks so much. Good talking with you, James. I appreciate the call. We're going to take more calls. Father John's going to stick with us through this next hour. Here's the number again, 1-877-573-7825. And we'll introduce the next hour, do the news break, and then come back to your calls. 1-877-573-7825.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. New Testament critics claim that the similarities between stories and the Gospels is evidence of collusion, and therefore the Gospels are a fraud. But if that were true, why are there obvious differences that real collusion could have covered up? For example, at Jesus' tomb, was there one angel, as recorded in Matthew, a young man, which we find in Mark, two men, so says Luke, or two angels, as in John's account? Differences like these are not contradictions, but strong evidences that over the centuries, the different accounts were held in such high esteem that the Gospels have not been fixed, a fact that only adds to their credibility. And that's evidence for the authenticity of Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under Resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Christ is the answer. With Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle
and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Crestu. With me, Father John Ricardo, Executive Director of Acts 29 and host of Christ is the Answer. Tell people how they can, you know, watch what you're doing, see what you're doing, hear what you're doing. Where's some contact information?
Yeah. The easiest way is to go to our website, acts29.org. So A-C-T-S-X-X-I-X.org, because Acts 29 in Arabic numbers is an evangelical church planning organization, so you probably don't you won't find the same things there. It was funny. We talked to them about what we're doing. They said, "Oh yeah, don't worry about that. You guys are no threat to us." But we pulled off of social media, so we don't have anything on social. So you can't find us on social.
I remember you said I haven't talked to you since I saw that.
So we're not on Facebook. We're not on Twitter. We're not on Instagram. We're still on YouTube right now, so there's a bunch of videos on YouTube. But you can find those through our website, and we're going to probably move them to another platform as well. And then there's two other things that you can get through our website under media. One is our podcast, You Were Born for This, which comes out every Monday. And then we do a weekly article that comes out every Wednesday, which you can subscribe to. It's all free. Everything's free. Entitled Thoughts from the Trailer.
Very good. All right. Again, acts29.org. I'm Al Cresta. We'll be back.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al Cresta is taking your calls direct to his desk. Call in now, 877-573-7825.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Thank you for being with me. This hour, we're going to continue conversation with Father John Ricardo, Executive Director of Acts 29 and host of Christ is the Answer. We're, again, trying to do our best to understand mission. Jesus took on human flesh. He formed a community, sent that community out to accomplish something, and now we are the result of it, and we have our parishes. The question is, do our parishes actually represent what Jesus had in mind when he started his communities? And we're at a time in American history, too, where some interesting things are happening. We have greater political turmoil than I've seen at any time in my life. I was too young. I was a teenager still in the 1960s, so I can't really say, give a great comparison. But I think it's actually much worse today because most of America at that time, apart from the student activists and revolts and, you know, some of the strange stuff, most of America was actually fairly moderate in its opinions. Right now, we've got really polarization. We've got tribalism, sectarianism in our body politic. But here's another thing that's interesting. The Catholic Church is certainly, first of all, a spiritual communion, but it's also an institution. So you've got something very funny going on here. You got a population. All the surveys indicate that there's enormous spiritual hunger out there, but at the same time,
there's a movement away from institutionalized or organized religion. So Catholics have to figure out how to navigate in those waters. And we've got our own set of personal issues here in the United States because of problems with the episcopacy over the last generation and certain lack of discipline. But we want to, we're asking you to join us in this conversation today because it's, you've got questions, you've got comments, you've got experience. And I think that in my mind, there's no silver bullet for this. There's no program, particular person. You could change popes, and I think our issues are going to remain pretty much the same until we recover a majority of Catholics understanding the three points that Father John made last hour, why Jesus came, what disciples are supposed to do, and what a parish is supposed to look like. So we're going to take your comments and questions at 1-877-573-7825. But first, let's get today's headlines.
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, February 26. It's the Feast of St. Victor the Hermit. Today's news is brought to you by Ave Maria University. Your vocation location is at avemaria.edu. Emergency authorization for Johnson & Johnson's highly anticipated COVID-19 vaccine is being debated by an FDA panel. Unlike vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna, Johnson & Johnson's requires only a single shot. It also is easier to distribute because it doesn't need to be stored in ultra-cold freezers. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont joined nearly a dozen clergy members as they were vaccinated today in Bridgeport. Reverend Carl McCluster with Shiloh Baptist Church had an impassioned message for those who are fearful of getting the vaccine.
It is fighting fear with faith and facts. It is time for us to fight the fear of taking this vaccine.
The religious leaders rolled up their sleeves earlier today at St. Vincent's Medical Center. Health officials are also stressing the importance of outreach in minority communities. Low-income families are getting help to stay connected. The FCC approving a monthly $50 subsidy so more homes can have high-speed internet. The $3.2 billion federal program would also provide some discounts on computers or tablets. The Pentagon is establishing an independent review commission to examine sexual assault in the military.
This effort, this commission, is dedicated to those service members who've suffered from sexual assault.
Lynn Rosenthal is leading the commission and will have 90 days to review military policies and procedures and then recommend changes. North Carolina is releasing 3,500 prisoners early. This is a part of a settlement over inmate conditions during the pandemic and will take place over a span of 6 months. Some of the affected inmates will have their sentence reduced to the mandatory minimum to make that happen. I'm C. Clark, Ave Maria Radio News.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta, and with me, Father John Ricardo. Again, talking about renewal in the church, something that I think we're all aware we need to see. And so let's continue with your comments and questions at 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Terrence in Atlanta, listening on The Quest. You're up, Terrence.
Oh, thank you, Al. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine, sure.
Okay. Al, as I told your caller before, I come with a little different approach.
Sure.
I was ordained priest for close to 20 years.
Okay.
And then I transitioned to the married state and have three sons and very active in my parish here. And I think this is just a super topic that really goes to the core of where we are as a church and where we need to go. My concern when I see our priest today, and by the way, many times I was critical and I had to slap myself in the head and say, what are you doing? These guys are trying to do heroic work and, you know, I'm being yeah. mean-spirited. I mean that.
Yeah, I know.
I know. But what I thought was, I don't see a lot of community with our priests. I don't know if Father John agrees with that or not. Maybe it's not possible. But these oratories in the past, or rectories, that there was some sort of community praying together, et cetera, as priests, I don't sense that anymore. Even when they lived somewhat together, I don't know if they are together.
Oh, I can't agree with you more.
I think that suffers in the long run. And the other thing I don't see, at least in my little myopic view of life here, is ongoing teaching and spirituality, preaching, homiletics.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, you're ordained and here you are. And if you're good at it, hey, good. But if you're not, well, you know, suffer along. So I just think this is such a topic. And by the way, I'm not into total defining an active parish by how we preach politically, et cetera. Right. I think it goes much deeper than that.
Oh, yeah.
I think we have to fall in love with Christ and be transfigured by him.
Yeah.
Personally, in our families. And so I just really want to say to your listeners, I just think this is such a great topic that I don't hear enough, and I'm just so grateful.
Well, I'm grateful to hear from you, Terrence. Today. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Let me ask you about this. I know we've talked about it before, but that is...
Thanks, brother.
community among priests.
Yeah.
Now, you were part of a group that had a sense of community, didn't you, when you first were ordained?
I was fortunate in the sense that I had a pastor who was, even though he was 40 years older than me, we spent tremendous amount of time together, and he was a father for me. He was a great mentor. We had some other guys in and out who lived with us at times. I've been fortunate enough as well to have great co-priests, you know, associates with me as I've been a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But he is so spot on. I mean, this is one of the biggest problems in the priesthood right now is guys are in isolation. And so I'm 55, 25 years ordained. Most guys that I know want to live with guys. Like one of the solutions that we've proposed to so many bishops as they look to restructure is we have got to find a way. It'll be for the good of the people if we can get guys to live together, you know?
And, I would think so.
Like, we're not meant to live alone, you know? Typical parish life, you're just putting out fires. You don't get a lot of affirmation, which is fine. But you go home to Sally.
Yes, and my kids.
You know, and I'm going home to nobody.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, that's not to say like, oh, poor father. It's just a reality. And that's a recipe for things going sideways. You know, drinking, porn, gambling, depression, whatever it might be, right?
Yeah,
No, he's spot on. I mean, community is huge. And I think more and more bishops are seeing the need for that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bishops who haven't been pastors.
That's interesting. That I think is a surprise to most Catholics. The reason I say that is because I was surprised when I first heard that. That was only about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean they're phenomenal men. I mean, that's not my point. They're, you know, they've worked in seminaries or downtown or whatever, but they lots of them, not all of them, but lots of them haven't been pastors, so they don't know that experience. They know exponentially more strains from being a bishop because they're a pastor of a diocese, but it's a little bit different. So, yes to community big time. Yes to preaching big time. I mean, I'm surprised. Like, I find preaching the most generative thing I do.
Interesting.
You know, like a man's made to be generative, you know, life-giving.
Yeah.
And nothing's more life-giving to me than proclaiming the scriptures and breaking them open, you know, like chewing on the word of God and then sharing with people what we've chewed on. But of course, for many priests, they don't have time to prepare because they're a one-man show. And so then they're forced to stand up and they're at a pulpit, and most people don't like public speaking. And if they haven't had time to prepare, you know, you get what you get.
Right.
And then to his third point, you know, about what the parish is supposed to be all about the Lord, I mean, you know, that great quote from Pope Benedict in, I don't remember where it is right now, might be Spirit of the Liturgy. Like, the point of convergence is Jesus.
Yep.
He's the one who brings us together. And absent that, we got nothing.
Exactly.
So, no, you're right on, brother. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Terrence. Let's go to Dave in Maryland, listening on Sirius XM. You're up, Dave.
Hello.
Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for having me on the air. Great show. Thanks for everything that you do. My question really is, you know, I feel that the priests are under fire in so many directions, and that as a result, the laity needs to step up. But specifically, I teach CCD 8th grade, and I find that the parishioners, and we have wonderful parishioners, they basically, you know, they treat it like soccer practice. They don't even treat it like soccer practice.
It's
they
less.
Soccer, and the parents would at least ask me how the kid's doing at soccer. But now, you know, they basically drive up, kid gets out of the car, goes in the front door, and then he goes out the door after it's over. And you never even meet the parents, let yeah. alone have a discussion about the kids. So my question is there any CCD programs out there that are family-oriented, that involve the parents and the kid, and you know, have some inclusive discussions about catechism specifically, but you know, our faith in general? So that's my question.
So first of all, thanks for what you're doing, for making the investment in the kids that you are. I'm sure it's having a bigger impact than you can imagine. I'm right with you about soccer, although as you said, and I corrected too, it's less than soccer practice. You can't learn anything once a week for an hour.
Right.
And that's what we've reduced faith. And so we've pretty much said to people by the way we do things, like we really don't think this is all that important either, even though we pretend that it's really essential. And so it's just tragic. There probably are some programs. I don't know what they are because I never used them. What we did was we became convinced, again, that the most urgent thing to do is to share the gospel. And by the gospel, I mean the kerygma. And so like I created something and then our catechists took it and made it age appropriate, whether it was second grade or eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can tell you, Dave, is especially young boys, when they get a vision of Jesus that is not simply kind or gentle or merciful, he's all those things, but they get a vision of Jesus for who he really is, which is to say he's Lord, and that he became a man to go to battle for us, to rescue us against Satan, to destroy the power of hell, to deliver us from the power of sin and death, and that he's calling us to be a part of the greatest and most worthwhile mission you can ever be a part of as a man or a woman, things happen. It's like, oh, that's who you're asking me to follow? Oh, I'm in. Because the Jesus I've heard about, like he plays with kittens and, you know, like that's great. I love cats, but he's more than that. And so I would encourage you, you know, there's some great things out there right now with regards to the kerygma and just the basic proclamation of the gospel. We've got some things on our website that you can take and utilize, whatever. They're short videos. There's some longer videos too, but find a way to do that and just say, you know what, I'm going to pretend nobody knows what we're talking about here, because I don't think they do. I don't think anybody knows the gospel. And so it's, I can't share the catechism with you until you've had an encounter. So John Paul, in one of his documents on catechesis, he says, you know, the point of the initial ardent proclamation of the gospel, which is the kerygma, which is four parts, you know, like the goodness of creation, sin and its consequences, God's response to sin, and then our response to what God's done, which we break out into four words: created, captured, rescued, response. The result of someone hearing that is supposed to be that they are overwhelmed by the message, and they make a decision to surrender in faith. Hmm. And I think the crisis is simply this: they've never been overwhelmed. And so I'm being asked to surrender to someone I don't know. And so as a result, I think I'm being asked to surrender to a bunch of laws, when in fact I'm being asked to surrender to the King, who loves me, who's unconquerable, and who sides the right side. And so to find ways to share that with them, man, that's what I would encourage you to. I'd spend the rest of the year doing that.
Appreciate the call, Dave. Thanks. You know, something I bring up here, two I can remember. Two surveys, one by the sociologist at Notre Dame, Christian Smith, and then I think the Southern Baptist did one as well, and they were trying to figure out what works in passing on the faith to the next generation. And in both surveys, the Southern Baptist survey indicated the extraordinary importance of the father. The Christian Smith survey, as I remember it, focused on the parents. And more than anything else, parents who are on fire about the faith, who can articulate the faith, and who the kids know have paid a price for living out the faith, there's nothing that competes with that.
Hands down.
Yeah, yeah. We'll come back and continue with your calls, 1-877-573-7825. My guest, Father John Ricardo. I'm Al Cresta.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God and all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level. He wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GETCURO.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Father John Ricardo, taking your comments, questions, talking about renewal in the church. Really, this is a time where it's so important for us to get back to basics. And Father John is executive director of Acts 29, an organization that is working with a variety of bishops on this issue of renewal in the whole diocese. And, of course, it's priests are the focus. Bishops and priests are really your focus, right?
Yeah, because if we can work with bishops and priests, it will impact everybody
else.
Yeah,
that's right. That's yeah, exactly. Let's continue with your calls, though. Christopher in Uruguay is calling, listening on the Ave Maria radio app. I don't think I've ever had a call from Uruguay before.
Hi, no, Christopher. Probably not.
Hey, Christopher, how you doing?
Hi. Great. Well, I just want to, I don't want to take a whole lot of your time. I just want to say thank you to Father Ricardo for the work that you do and everybody in the radio station. I was baptized 2 years ago. I'm from the United States, but I live here in South America.
Yeah.
And a few years back, I got a job as an English teacher at this humble Catholic grade school, and one day I got to school early, and they were having Mass, and I went to Mass, and I heard the homily, and it was on John chapter 6, and when the priest had talked about that, and I heard the words, you know, I am the bread of life, it just hit me.
Yeah.
And I went to the priest, and I told him, you know, I was like, I want to be baptized, and so he said, okay, well, you know, we'll go through catechesis, and we'll see how it goes for you, and so I got home. And I looked up on YouTube how to become Catholic, and that's where I found the Becoming Catholic series of Our Lady of Good Counsel.
Oh, that's great.
And so I consumed every single one of the videos multiple times. So I was baptized. My daughter was just baptized.
Oh, praise God.
On December 8th. And so, you know, listening to about how to teach the gospel is something that's been, you know, a great thing in my life. You know, it's helped me get closer to my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually grew up Mormon,
wow.
Which is where my affiliation with Uruguay came from, because I was a missionary here.
Oh, okay.
You know, I kind of stopped being Mormon and just didn't. Kind of left my relationship, at least I thought I had really left my relationship with God aside.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, you know, knowing what it is that Christ, what he's saving us from, you know, is really important. You know, yes, that Christ is loving and patient and kind and all those things, and it's true, but you know, he really is here on a rescue mission for
Amen.
Us. You know, and that's something that I experienced in my own life. And so, Father John and everybody at the radio station, just thank you for the work that you're doing. It's had an effect, at least on me.
Christopher, count on the prayers from all of us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Christopher.
Yeah, even Jeff, as you're sharing absolutely. That, I'm thinking, boy, the power of God's word,
yeah.
Right? When John 6 is proclaimed, and, you know, like, whether you get a homily afterward or not, it doesn't matter. Like, the word of God does not return void. So, boom, John 6 is proclaimed, and then the power of the Eucharist and what it's done in Christopher's life since, and now here he is in South America, and he's helping young people come to encounter Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise be Jesus.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
Let's go to Barbara in Gaithersburg, Maryland, listening online. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
You're up.
Thank you. Hi. I just wanted to ask if you had ever heard of the Seven Sisters Apostolate.
Oh, yeah. We recommend it all the time.
Yes. We've been doing that at our parish, and I just think more people should know about it.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up, Barbara.
And then also the I'm not great at this, but I'm from the D.C. area, so I got 30-some people from our parish, and we pray for our bishop once a month.
Yep.
Each of us takes one day a month. It's not quite as rigorous as the Before the Blessed Sacrament, because I couldn't get people who were willing to commit.
Sure.
Because it's not the same day every month. So, but it's, I think, you know, once you start praying, first of all, you can't be angry and hate people that you're praying for.
Amen.
And second of all,
that's right.
At least you shouldn't be.
Yeah, I told myself that too.
Yeah, and so second of all, you know, you've got to trust that the work is Christ's, and if you're pleading with him for somebody in particular, that he's going to answer that. So I just wanted to make sure that people knew about that apostolate.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up, Barbara. So for folks who are unaware, which is probably most people, the Seven Sisters Apostolate is a ministry for priests where seven women each take a day of the week. And what they do is each of them takes one day, and on that day that they're, you know, that they take, they do a holy hour for the same priest. And so the priest is basically covered the whole week long. So I have seven women who I know pray for me once every day, and or once every week. And they'll reach out and just say, hey, what do you need? Like, how can I pray for you?
Wow.
And even if you're doing this on behalf of somebody that doesn't know you're doing it, obviously you wouldn't reach out, but you're covering them in prayer, right?
Yes.
So our intercession for one another, we were talking about this earlier, is so huge. And if we can do it in front of the Eucharist, it's so much more efficacious. And so Mary and our team, she's always trying to make this known to people. She's coordinated a number of different Seven Sisters Apostolates.
Huh.
And then as Barbara mentioned, for a bishop, so I get a week, the bishop gets 30 days because he needs it more than I do. So someone's praying every day for the bishop. It's so helpful. I know my life has been greatly impacted by the women who pray for me.
Yeah. Barbara, thanks. That's good to know. I actually was not aware of this particular ministry, so thank you. Oh, let's see here. Let's head to Deacon Gene, listening on the Ave Maria radio app, also 990 AM. Hey, Deacon, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. You know, Al, I remember that you had Deacon Steve Hilker on recently talking
yes.
about the some 40,000 deacons and their wives who can be trained and focused on the new evangelization as part of this whole renewal process. I wonder if the Father Ricardo would speak to that.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit on us there, Gene. Steve Hilker, deacon here in the Diocese of Lansing,
yeah.
Did his master's thesis at the Josephinum and on the new evangelization and the diaconate.
Yep.
And he did a great job. He was here for an hour last week going through it. And,
I think I read that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And so I've said before, Deacon Gene and I work together, I've said before, deacons actually have a very an unusual place, because the laity know that deacons were very much like them, right?
Right.
You know, they may think that priests somehow, you know, were always that way, but the deacons they knew because they were laity together, and then the deacons go on to ordination. So the deacons provide, I think, a great link in this chain of as laity take co-responsibility for the church. The deacons are an especially good place to help mediate lay involvement to the rest of the clergy. So,
yeah, I maybe make a couple things more explicit that I should have said earlier. And so Deacon Steve, who's on our team,
yeah,
Deacon Steve Mitchell,
yeah.
He'd certainly remind us of the importance of our brothers in the diaconate as well, together with their wives. So when I kind of talked about that clergy bucket earlier of trying to bring transformation, it's priests, it's deacons as well, and seminarians. Yeah. Maybe one of the reasons why we don't always mention it, some dioceses just don't have any deacons.
They don't do much with them, yeah.
They actually don't have any.
They don't?
No.
Wow.
So some bishops didn't. They reinstituted the diaconate,
right.
And then some guys have stopped it. And so it depends on where you are as to whether or not there are any or whether there are a lot. And there are some dioceses that we work with where there's at least as many deacons as priests. In some places, there's many more deacons than priests. The bigger question to me is really part of the transformation of the church, a huge part of the transformation, is helping every member of the body of Christ come to know what their gifts are.
Yeah, exactly.
And then letting them use them.
Yeah.
So, for example, not every priest has the charism of pastoring.
Interesting. Yeah. Good.
And yet they're all, many of them are pastors.
Yep.
And if they had their druthers, they would rather not be.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell me that, and I'll ask them, have you told the bishop that? And their response is, no, I don't want to look like a failure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we need every, every man and woman in the body of Christ to use, this is a great time, you know, use things like maybe it's Sherry Waddell's, you know,
forming
and gifted,
yeah.
Called and gifted disciples.
Yeah, the called and gifted seminars that she does.
You know, find out what are your charisms, because what we want to do is we want to put people, we all want to serve in places that are life-giving for us and that we're good at. Like, you don't want me, you know, leading music practice because it'll be bad or teaching art, you know, or teaching poverty, for that matter, probably, but you want me doing other things. And so as people find out, okay, what are those spiritual, supernatural gifts which God has given me for the sake of the body, then to be able to step forward to the bishop or to the pastor and say, hey, I can help you with this. These are my gifts, as opposed to, hey, how come you don't do this?
Right.
You know,
right.
So brother, thanks. First of all, thanks for your service and your ministry. And for making sure that we didn't lose the crucial role of the diaconate in this whole thing, and then helping to get a bigger picture as to the importance of everybody knowing what their gifts are, because everybody gets to play.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way. That's how the church is healthy. Gene, thanks. Good talking with you. Let's go to Elizabeth in Pennsylvania, who finally came back to us, listening on Sirius XM. Elizabeth, good to have you back.
Hi. Yes, it's good to be here. Sorry about the last phone call. I don't know what happened. I could hear you, but you evidently couldn't hear me.
Right.
I just wanted to make a comment, if it's okay.
Yep.
I love this program. It's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for doing it. And I would just like to add one other piece that I really feel just is not where it needs to be in the Catholic Church, and that is in the real belief in the true presence. And I just feel like that's, if we could just have that be more believed, if people were on fire and knew that they were going to see Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, you couldn't keep them away, especially with all these crazy things that have been going on. But with people now even using COVID as an excuse to not go because they don't have to, it's like, but if you could, because you're able to and it's available, how could you not want to run? And that just kind of makes me sad that that seems to be what people are really missing. And I was just...
Let's come back to that.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that on the other side. Music is up. Got to take a break. But this, I appreciate your comment and question.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
This program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit St. Paul Street Evangelization. St. John Paul II stated that for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation. So we know we're called, but how do we do it? St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Catholics and the U.S. bishops adjusting to a new administration and the obstacles to the Church's mission of religious liberty in communist China. To learn more about these issues affecting the Church and our faith, keep listening to EWTN Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
When their teens are struggling with depression, parents often wonder whether medication or therapy is the best way to help their kids heal. A new study published in the medical journal The Lancet sheds some light on this question. In a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind study, the so-called gold standard in medical research, doctors found that psychotherapy alone helped depressed teens and young adults just as much as those receiving counseling and medication combined. The authors of the study suggest that psychotherapy, especially cognitive behavior therapy, which addresses unhealthy thinking patterns, should be the first line of treatment for teens and young adults, with antidepressants being used only as a support to therapy when necessary. The good news is that teen depression responds tremendously well to treatment, but it's important to make sure that your kids get the right kind of help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
There are lots of great ways to connect with us at AveMariaRadio.net, like our poll of the week. This week we want to know, what are some things that you are doing for Lent? Let us know now at AveMariaRadio.net and stay tuned to Ave Maria Radio to hear our results for the poll of the week.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Crester, with me Father John Ricardo, and this brings up the great point of the centrality of the Eucharist and the lack of belief in the real presence. And, you know, we were talking off the air too, but go ahead. It's sacramental awareness is low.
Yeah. Like we've all seen the statistics, right? You know, like one poll is, you know, 45% of Catholics or 2/3 of Catholics rather don't believe in the real presence. And as a priest friend who you know too, I've heard him comment on our typical response to that in the church has been, well, we need to teach that. And he says, I don't think it's that they haven't heard it. I don't think they believe it.
Right.
And so the question is, how do you help them to believe it? And for me, so first of all, Elizabeth, thanks for making sure that this didn't get missed. As we're talking about what the parish is supposed to be and this instrument of unity, I mean, unity comes from first baptism and being incorporated into Jesus's body. And then two, from the Eucharist, like Nothing else is going to bring us together.
That's
right? We don't have anything
of
in
unity.
Common.
Yeah.
So spot on. I think we need to teach people first the gospel, help them know everything that Jesus has done for us. And in doing that, like that's the one who's at the altar. Like that's the one who's giving himself to us.
Yes.
And then we have to help people reclaim a bigger thing, more than just the Eucharist. We have to help them reclaim a sacramental vision of all of reality. Because everything, as again, this priest would say, is always more than it appears to be.
Yes.
Everything, not just the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And then especially right now with the situation that we find ourselves in the country and in the church, the Eucharist is power. You know, like we're great at throwing around words that nobody really knows what we're talking about. Grace is one of those. What's grace? I mean, one of the ways that I think about grace is like spiritual steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And it enables me to do something that on my own I can't do. In this case, it gives me the power to love. And when I go to communion, I don't know if you're ever going to receive the precious blood again, quite honestly.
After this.
Yeah. But when I do,
yeah.
That sounded rather selfish, sorry. But when I receive the precious blood,
yeah.
I mean, because it's so, the blood of Christ for me is so tangible.
Yeah.
More so for whatever reason than the body.
Yeah.
And I'm praying like, Lord, I need a transfusion. Like I know my heart. My heart is not good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking for your blood, which is given to me right now, to flow into me and to transform me. So if we're going to be what we're supposed to be as the church, we have got to get back to the Eucharist by all means.
Yeah. Very good point, Elizabeth. Let's go to, let's see here. We've got Pat in Port Washington, Maryland, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Pat, good to have you here. Hello, Pat. Oh, I guess you're not hanging out. All right. If you want to call back, Pat, we'll try to get you to the head of the line. Let's go to Donna. Yes, Donna in Northville, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio 990 AM. You're up, Donna.
Well, I was hoping you would pick me. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hey, Donna.
Sorry to Pat. But
sure.
Awesome topic, number one. Number two, I'm a lifelong Catholic. And number three, I'm a swire. I'm a second-year student with Encounter Ministries. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Sure.
Just found out today our team earned its graduate certificate. And I just keep everything you're talking about is my number one favorite topic in the world. how to bring the lay people, the laity, to Christ. And I'm seeing that in Encounter Ministries. And Father Ricardo, when you're talking, I just see like a bridge, you know, spanning from when Encounter Ministries meets Acts 29. The laity that are part of Encounter Ministries, and there's new laity, you know, non-believers every day meeting Jesus. And you were just speaking of the Eucharist, I should say my favorite topic. Encounter Ministries has in its logo the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked into the main campus and saw the giant cross with Christ on it, and the light was on him in the dark, and then the praise and worship music, I said, this is the Catholicism with the Eucharist I've been looking for all my life. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, Father, what you were just talking about, signs, miracles, and wonders. It brings alive. We're taught renewal of the mind.
Right.
Like St. Paul.
Right. That's the key.
St. Paul. And all the miracles. Jesus is alive today like he was 2,000 years ago. Renewal of the mind. And when Jesus said to us in Scripture, when I go to the Father, you will do things greater than these because I have gone to the Father. Who is he talking to?
Right.
He's talking to us.
That's right.
He's talking to us, the laity. And that's it in a nutshell. I could go on. But I just love you talking about this, Al and Father Ricardo. We need to have Encounter Ministries something meeting Acts 29 in every parish in this country.
Well, I appreciate the call, Donna. Thanks. And I'm glad to hear that you really found in this ministry a way of living out your faith in discipleship. It's important. Signs Amen. And wonders accompanying the gospel.
Yeah, like go figure, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm amazed how many times we hear people say things like, well, I just don't believe that God heals today.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why in the world would you think that had stopped? You know, I mean,
right.
I witnessed my mom going from an invalid and a cripple to the most active woman I've ever met in my life. I mean, she was a hospital bedridden for my life until I was 12, 13 years old.
Wow.
I mean, it was right out of the Acts of the Apostles, or the Gospels, for that matter.
Yeah,
it was so profound. And so I learned at a very young age, God is not done doing extraordinary things.
Right.
And part of our mission, you know, like Jesus says in the Gospel, right? Like, so whatever town you enter, stay in the house that welcomes you, preach the Gospel, heal the sick,
yeah,
you know, and proclaim to them the Gospel is at hand. So, like, that's still supposed to be happening today. We're still supposed to be healing the sick of whether it's of body or of mind, always remembering that suffering has a pivotal role to play, right? Because Jesus redeems us by his cross. So, yeah, Donna, thanks so much. I mean, Father Patrick, or rather Father Matthias and Patrick Rice are great brothers, and they're doing extraordinary work with Encounter and everybody else there. So kudos to them.
Yeah. Number again is 1-877-573-7825. That's, let's head on to Lincoln, Nebraska now. Don, you're up.
Hello.
Hey, listening there. Yeah, Don, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think you're kind of talking about the growth of the church and stuff like that. I just kind of wanted to comment. When I used to go to church, I used to think of it like a family. That's what I was kind of brought up to believe in. You know, like I'm part of a family. I'm part of the church. This is a community. We're all together, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're in it together, you know, there's the communion, there's really, like, it brings people together, right?
Sure.
Well, I kind of had a change of mind, you know, kind of started seeing things a different way.
And why is that?
Well, I mean, it's multiple reasons, but when I don't want to get too political, I don't want to get, I don't want to go into that realm, really. I kind of think that, you know, when you have people in the pew who could solve each other's problems, I mean, I'm not saying that people have to network, like only hire Catholics if you're a Catholic type of thing. But if you're a few pews down from like a family that maybe they're not well off, I haven't seen a whole lot of this when I used to go to church. I haven't really seen people helping each other,
okay.
You know, and I know that maybe they don't want to do that directly. Maybe you know, the church could do that. Maybe there could be a way that they could solve that problem. I've seen it. A long time ago, a friend of mine invited me to go to their church, and I went there. It was not a Catholic church. They had something set up where a young guy needed a car, you know, before he was going to go to boot camp. He just needed a car for like 6 months. They pulled the church together, and they went out and bought a used car and fixed it up, and he returned it to the church before he left to go off to boot camp. And I don't remember seeing a whole lot of that.
Well, it's a good point.
Don, you're spot on. So first of all, I'm sorry that you didn't see that where you were. I think what you just described is scandalous in the genuine sense of it, right? So like our actions or inactions cause people to stumble. So we were talking earlier in the show about what the parish is supposed to be. And unfortunately, it's not always. I mean, many times you'll see exactly the kind of thing that you just described in a Catholic church, but unfortunately, it's not every church. And when it's not, it's genuinely scandalous. It causes people to go, this doesn't look like the body of Christ. This looks like,
right.
I don't know, self-affirmation or, you know, being in with the in crowd. And that's why we have to work. I mean, the first step of transformation renewal is my own personal renewal.
Yep.
And my heart, to make sure that I'm trying to play my part in this role of looking like an ambassador for Jesus. The parish is supposed to look different. But clearly these are aspirational goals right now because it doesn't look different in many places around the country.
You are absolutely right, though, to keep that in front of us. That's what we ought to be. And I think what happens is people end up just settling. And we shouldn't be settling.
Yep.
We should know, do what we can to see to it that Christ's will is actually lived out within our communities. The number again is 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Kevin in Seattle, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. It looks like 10:50 a.m. You're up, Kevin.
Oh, hi.
Hello, hey, Kevin.
Don Ricardo. Thank you, and thank you, Al. Every time I've gotten on the radio, which is a few times, I've always felt a lot of pressure, so I'm going to try to. I've been praying before this so that I would convey my thoughts clearly and not take up a whole lot of time. And I think you would appreciate that, Father John, because you're pretty blunt in your speak, and I really appreciate your catechesis. With that said, I'm going to go right into it. I actually have been going to a parish for over a decade, and I went there sporadically for perhaps 7 years, I want to say, and I realized one day that, oh my gosh, nobody has said hello to me, not once.
Yeah.
I said, that's odd. So I went and I found a retired priest that was at the rectory there, and I spoke to him and I said, hey, what gifts here? I need to speak to someone. I need to talk to someone. I want to make some friends. I wanted to know what the parish was doing, etc. So fast forward, he introduced me to someone who did become a friend of mine. And I says, I wonder why it took so long for people to say anything to me. If you'll notice, you can't go into an evangelical church and get out of there without someone accosting you and asking who you are, et cetera, et cetera. But that was not the case in my parish.
Yeah.
So I started by cutting the grass. And then I fulfilled roles in different other ways that would allow me to get to know the community, so on and so forth. Ultimately, it ended up me teaching a class in community. I wanted to see if there was a hunger for that, because I thought at my particular parish, there might be, that people had gotten too comfortable with small parish groups and the kind of the clubbishness that you can
get from. Got about 30 seconds, Kev.
Oh, boy, it was what I feared. Father John, in the Bible, it says the first century churches, I found my answer there. They conducted assemblies where all the people would come in, say what they needed. They were able to discern their gifts, know what the greater community needed, and distribute accordingly. I think that the Catholic Church and any parish that embraces a regular assembly where the laity comes together under the priest to conduct just an open forum to speak about it.
Okay.
And as a side note, this is the same parish that Sherry Wydell used to go to.
Okay.
Anyway, your thoughts on the assembly?
We'll come back on the other side of the break and Father John will respond.
Thanks Kevin.
Kevin.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets, all the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
What is wrong with artificial birth control? The Catholic Catechism explains that it unnaturally breaks the bond between the two essential elements of the conjugal act, the unitive and the procreative. The unitive element is the mutual self-giving of the spouses to one another. The procreative element is the openness to the act's potential and natural end, life. The truth of marital love is falsified when we separate what God has decreed as inherent and inseparable to the marriage act. We don't unnaturally separate eating from its natural end, nourishment. When we wish to control our weight, we abstain from food. Thus, if for just reasons we wish to control birth during a fertile period, we should abstain from sexual relations. In an age of ecological awareness, church-approved natural family planning, which is both healthy and free, is cause for environmental applause. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Thanks for being with me. Father, you want to respond? We got about 60 seconds.
Kevin's comments are great. So, unfortunately, brother, I don't have enough time, but I'd say this. So, Archbishop Vigneron here in Detroit encourages us to be radically hospitable. Unfortunately, most parishes are radically inhospitable. So, what you described is the norm, not unfortunately. We want the opposite. But I think for many parishes, they're too big. I mean, like, how do I know what the needs are? And so there's things we can do. One of the things, maybe practical, would be don't just have people register. Before they register, invite them to something. Invite them to a breakfast. Mm. We would do this at a parish. Invite them to a breakfast where you can actually meet people.
Yeah.
I can meet you. I can know who you are. I can know what your needs are. And then you can at least gradually begin to know from now on, anyway, at a parish, like, who's here? What do they need? How can I help?
Right.
Those are just practical things we can do.
Father, thanks. How do people stay in touch? Acts29.org?
Correct.
Okay.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.